Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. And this is Paula Granquist, and you are listening to the show that celebrates creating and stories. So let's get ready to tune our imaginations together. Folks, we are going to talk about the wonderful things about high school band and high school band directors of the world. I hold them in high regard. I am a band geek, and I found the place that I belonged in my high school. We played music in the band room during the band hour, had our instrument lessons there, ate lunch with fellow band geeks back in the instrument cabinets, and met friends after school in the band room. Band was the break my brain needed and the place that I met my best friends in the world. And I still hang out and travel with these band friends. Band geeks forever, I guess. I played the clarinet and I had great success in playing my instrument. I enjoyed practicing, so I suppose right now I need to send out a huge thank you to my parents for putting up with all of my practicing. I imagine that the noise coming from my room didn't always sound like music. It was my high school band directors at Apple Valley High School that helped me make me a better player. In symphonic band, Mr. Romer picked challenging music and taught us how to come together as a group to make good music and enjoy good music. Mr. Hagner had lots of patience and a good sense of humor during my lessons, and he played great music on that saxophone and choreographed the greatest marching band formations and created spectacular performances. We all need a guide, a mentor, a boost, someone that, to believe in us, to tell us how to become more of who we are and who we are meant to be in life, and to realize the expanse of our talents. This week, I talked about my band directors with my guests for today's show. Then, this week, I learned of the passing earlier this week of our band director from Apple Valley, Wayne Romer. And I wanted to dedicate this show to him and all the great band directors and music educators in this community and out in the world. Band directors rule. So we all need music in our lives, and the music in our lives needs our support and recognition. Today in Art Zany Radio, I'm very excited to welcome Mike Legvold, Cannon Falls High School Band Director, and Nahal Javan, Northfield High School Band Director, to celebrate music education and preview their participation in the Minnesota Orchestra side-by-side performance with music director Thomas Sundegaard. And so you can get information about that at minnesotaorchestra.org. I've got a link also on the information about the Minnesota Orchestra side-by-side event as well on the kymnradio.net website. That concert, Minnesota Orchestra side-by-side with music director Thomas Sundegaard at Orchestra Hall, is on their two performances, Saturday, April 27th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, April 28th at 2 p.m. And they're going to be performing in the orchestra. My guest today, the piece Jupiter from the Planets by Holtz, something very much to look forward to. Also want to shout out to Dave Legvold for bringing this topic to my attention of KYMN and Art Zany Radio. First up in the studio is Mike Legvold, and he'll tell us about his experience with music and high school students and some of his dreams coming true. So folks, this is Art Zany Radio. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. It's such a thrill to have you here today. I thank you for being a part of the show. And want to ask you to start off and just tell us a little bit about your musical world, maybe where you got started and your position at Cannon Falls, how that came to be.
Well, it's been a long story, so I'll start off at a very, very young age. I remember being in choirs and singing in church when I was less than 8 years old when we lived in Bloomington. And then we moved to Northfield, which is a wonderful town for music. Mm-hmm. We moved here when I was 8. And so I remember singing a lot of different choirs, and the Northfield Boys Chorus with Bob Swanson would be Exhibit A with that, and then lots of church choirs. And then it came time to start band, and I started on trumpet with Roger Jenny, kind of one of my many heroes. And then he told me, "You're not really a trumpet player, you're a low brass player." And lo and behold, a few years later, Leon Haefner, another one of my heroes, kind of advocated that I switch to baritone horn, and then later to tuba. And then Roger Jenny saw me and he said, "I told you."
What is it that makes someone either a trumpet or a low brass?
I think it's physical characteristics and perhaps your personal disposition.
Mm, so it's not about your embouchure, your playing, your technique?
I think it's kind of all the above. It's physical and mental. But some people might physically be a little bit better suited for some instruments over others.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I just kind of kept on singing in choirs and playing in band, and then eventually in high school I had the chance to play tuba in the orchestra once in a while, and then I got to St. Olaf and was lucky enough to make the band, and then a few tuba players either left or graduated, so suddenly, I was kind of thrust into the orchestra as a sophomore, and that was a great, those were both great learning experiences. And then I just kind of have kept on playing and singing and playing and singing until the present day.
Not at the same time though.
No, that's a whole different technique, but, just kind of being around a lot of wonderful musicians and teachers in this town and kind of seeing these people and thinking, you know, I'd kind of like to be like that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you had a musical family, because some of us know the stories of your mom who mm-hmm. plays piano.
Yep.
And was that a big influence too?
Oh, yes. Yeah, my mother played violin in the St. Olaf Orchestra when she was there. And, of course, everyone knows she's a very fine singer as well. And then she kind of picked up the playing piano for the choirs a little bit later. And then my father is a good singer and a pretty good trombone player. So I kind of got that idea that singing is an important part of musicianship, but also so is being, you know, pretty good on at least one instrument. And there's kind of a multiplier effect.
Did you ever have like family nights around the piano or concerts or anything that you did together? Or was it more you each were on your own journeys?
We each kind of did our own thing. We would certainly sing a lot. I always remember singing the Table Grace in four-part harmony at family gatherings. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother was an organist and a pianist, and my grandfather was a pastor and could play piano pretty well and play a bunch of instruments, and both of them sang quite well.
I would love to hear that. Four-part harmony is not easy to do.
Well, it's Northfield. Everybody does it.
I don't think our family does. We struggle with happy birthday, so
okay.
it's a different story, but I can see how that can be a great influence. And
yep.
How about your decision, you know, to become a band director? When did that enter your world that you thought that might be a place that you'd like to, you know, make a career?
Well, I saw a lot of great band directors in action, kind of starting with Roger Jenny, and then there was Vicky Hack and David Heinz when I was in middle school, and then Leon Haefner. And then at a young age, I got to see Paul Nemestow and Miles Johnson kind of doing their thing. And
up at St. Olaf,
yeah,
right.
And then some very fine orchestra directors as well. And it was kind of like, I admire these people, and, you know, maybe I want to do this. And then there was a time when Leon Haefner, my high school band director, had to be called off to jury duty. This is when I was, I think, a senior and couldn't find a music sub. So he just kind of pulled me into his office and showed me the scores and said, all right, just kind of lead the band through these songs, and here's how you figure out the tempo. And so I conducted a rehearsal for one day with a licensed teacher in the room, and I don't think I really rehearsed a whole lot, but it's like we ran through the tunes and I didn't die.
And yeah, you kept your composure.
Yep. And I was kind of hooked from there.
That's a really interesting story, how that one day can, you know, sort of turn mm-hmm. and make you think, this might be something I want to get more of.
Yeah.
What grade were you at that time?
A junior or senior.
Okay. That's a really big influence. Mm-hmm. I love that story. And what do you, you remember about the musical education from when you were in high school versus what you're seeing now in high school? What's changed or grown since that time?
Boy, that's what's changed. I think when I was in high school, we sort of had maybe longer attention spans. There may not have been so many things competing for our attention. You know, those hypnotic little light boxes mm-hmm. are very, very alluring.
Yeah, so do the kids have them out in your band room?
No, they're not supposed to.
Okay.
Actually, the school board in Cannon Falls made a rule that cell phones are not to be visible during class time.
Probably a good idea.
So I still confiscate a few from time to time.
Mm.
And it's not perfect, but no, they're not supposed to.
And so you can see that as a teacher that might affect how they're able to pay attention for longer mm-hmm. periods of time.
Yep.
And how have you adapted your lesson planning and, you know, music selection? Has that affected any of that?
Not really.
Mm.
No, I think it's the outside of class time. You know, there's screens, which are one thing that can be distracting. And then also they have more choices of activities
mm-hmm.
now than they used to.
Right. And so maybe that affects practice times.
It can.
Yeah. And you can probably see that as the director, mm-hmm. you know, who's been practicing and who hasn't been. And that makes a difference. Exactly. Yep. And when you were at St. Olaf, tell me about your band experiences and, you know, the bands that you played with.
Let's see. That was pretty amazing. So St. Olaf was a little bit short on tuba players when I arrived as a freshman. And another freshman and I were fortunate enough to make it into the St. Olaf band right away.
Because you do have to audition for that.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's a very mm-hmm. competitive thing to be up in that musical hill up there.
Yep. So you have to know your stuff as well as you can as a freshman. So we made it in, and we were kind of there in the deep end of the pool, and we were able to do okay because there was a senior and a junior there to kind of shepherd us along,
mm-hmm.
which was very good. But playing in one of the top college bands in the country, if not the top college band in the country, is quite a departure from playing in a pretty darn good high school band.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different world. So we adapted pretty quickly, and we just kept on learning, kept on practicing, kept on growing, and we got better because we had to.
Mm-hmm. But that's probably true, because if you can rise up to the level that is, mm-hmm. is surrounding you, and that does make a big difference, because you don't want to stand out for the wrong reason.
Yeah, but there have to be people to help you along.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that's an important part of it. And then when you decided to apply for this Minnesota Orchestra Side by Side, what were you thinking? This is, I think, a really unique opportunity to celebrate music educators mm-hmm. in our community and to honor them. So what were your thoughts when you thought, I might try this?
I thought, wow, this is amazing. And I could see some reasons why they might want to do that for promotion and to get some younger bodies into their seats to see the orchestra do their thing. But for me, it was also, okay, I don't know if they'll take me, but I'm going to apply and just kind of see what happens. And then I've kind of had this on my bucket list since I was about 12. and
to play with the orchestra.
Yeah, because my parents brought me to the St. Olaf Orchestra concerts, and then also to the Minnesota Orchestra concerts. And it was just sort of, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to play on stage with them?
Mm-hmm.
And as a youngster, I didn't really think that would happen because those people are very elite and they've worked really hard to get there. So, yeah, when I was in graduate school at the University of Minnesota, I did get a chance to play in a rehearsal with them. And so, okay, we can kind of check this one off the bucket list. That's good enough. There was no audience, but I got to play with them. Fine. And then this popped up, and, well, it worked out.
Yeah, and so it was part of what they did is they asked you, you kind of had to fill out a questionnaire about what would you hope to, what would be the reasons you'd want to do this, and what mm-hmm. would you gain from this? And there are just this, so they were only able to select a certain number, and we're lucky enough to have two from this area who are going.
Yeah, I think some things that maybe helped me with my case is I'm old. I've been teaching for 30 years, so that may have given me advantage over someone who's been teaching for only say 5. And then my sphere of influence is in 2 nearby towns, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
Northfield and Cannon Falls.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps a little bit.
Yeah, you'll get to be this. This will actually be your very first time performing on the Minnesota Orchestra stage.
Yep, probably first and last.
Mm-hmm. You don't know. You've still got many years ahead of you.
Well,
I bet you'll keep playing. And one of the things that we know about the performance is that you'll be doing Jupiter, one part of the Planet series, and that is not an easy piece.
No.
And so I wonder how you're practicing for that.
Well, a lot. My wife would tell you that. So I was fortunate enough when I was in graduate school at the University of Minnesota, I did get to study with their former tuba player. He retired. Ross Tolbert is his name, and he's another, one of those hero-type people for me. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. And so part of what we studied were a lot of excerpts from orchestral music. And fortunately, the stuff from Jupiter was part of it.
Mm.
So he really kind of helped me to get that solidified. And then for this performance, I got the full pages of music and then listened to it a lot and then just practiced it slowly. And then now I put on the headphones and then I play along with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra every night.
Every night?
Or the Berlin Philharmonic or the Montreal Symphony or, just pick an orchestra that has a recording of Jupiter and then play along.
That's really interesting because that was something that I don't think was available ever before to do. So mm-hmm. where are you getting the different recordings and what's your preferred method for doing that?
Spotify.
Oh, so you can
select
those different versions. Mm-hmm. And do you get to do it so you can tune out the other instruments and just play along with?
No.
No, you're playing with a whole orchestra.
Right. So just Spotify, and I'll put it either in the headphones or I'll crank it up through some big speakers. So that's thing one. And then I will practice it with just me and my metronome.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I use headphones, sometimes I use the big speakers.
That's a really great way to practice. Do you ever do it with like a YouTube video so you can see the conductor?
I've tried that, but there was a little bit of a lag.
Oh,
so that makes didn't work as well.
That would make a huge difference because you do not want to have, that does not help you in learning a piece.
No.
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 Have you recommended that your students to try that as well?
No, I have not.
Oh, it'd be interesting.
In my classes, we do listen to a lot of recordings of the music we're going to play and I make it available
mm-hmm.
for them.
It would be really interesting to see how if they, because I've never thought of that you can not only just being able to play the music yourself or listen to a recording, but do that combined and then to take it and say, I wonder how this orchestra did it or, mm-hmm. switching because it is slightly different, I suspect, what they decide to emphasize or maybe even their you know, timing is slightly different.
Yep. And then also how they mix the recording. So like in some of them, I'll hear the more bright, sparkly parts and the bells and the flutes and the piccolos a lot more than I will with some other recordings mm-hmm. where I really hear the horns coming through.
Say. Might be dependent on how they mic it too.
Yep.
And what they decide to lay on the tracks.
Yep. And some recordings are lickety split fast in the difficult parts, and others they are a little slower.
Mm. Folks, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I'm Paula Granquist. We're here today with Mike Legvold. We're talking about this upcoming event at the Minnesota Orchestra. It's called Side by Side with music director Tomas Sondergaard. Did I say that correctly? Close enough? Okay. And we're talking about the production that they're going to be doing, performances Saturday, April 27th and Sunday, April 28th, afternoon concert on Sunday. This is performing Holt's Jupiter from the Planets, which is just an exquisite piece of music if you ever want to take it in. It goes through all of them, and it's really a wonderful piece, and it's such a honor to be able to be on the stage, because it won't just be the music educators. You'll be playing with current players in the Minnesota Orchestra. You mentioned that the tuba that you'll be playing with is one of the best in the nation.
Oh, yes, mm-hmm. if not the world. Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling about it? You haven't had rehearsals yet, so you haven't had that opportunity.
No. And I haven't met him personally, but... I know a good number of people who have, and they say he's a wonderful guy,
mm-hmm.
and he has a wicked sharp sense of humor. So I'm.
You think you'll get along?
That. Yeah, yeah. So when I met the former tuba player that I took lessons from, I'd heard the old saying, "Never meet your heroes," and so okay, here I go in with my first lesson with Ross Tolbert, and okay, that blew that out of the water because he was just. So nice and so great at putting me at ease. And yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
It's great.
And are you students are invited to come
yes.
and join, which is, I think, a really great thing that they're doing to mm-hmm. not only celebrate music educators, because all of them will have gotten to where they are because they've had some music educator in their life who is... advanced their career or told them about, you know, something that they could learn on their instrument or challenged them in a way and told them that was a pathway that they could take. But they're also trying to encourage young people to be in mm-hmm. that space and to
yep.
hear that music. Have you told your students and what are they excited about for you?
I did tell them when I first found out I was at home and alone. Because Tanya was out doing theater things, I think. And so I just kind of, you know, held it in and paced probably 20, 30 times around the house. And it's like, okay, you tell your spouse first.
Mm.
So I waited until she came home. And then I actually had to wait another day or two before I told my students because I wanted to be a lot more calm and cool and collected and all that. So I told them, and then I emailed all of them and their parents with the information about, you know, hey, you can get tickets to this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a really great thing because it's not a space that everybody gets a chance to go to or, you know, takes advantage of. I was really impressed going to their website, the variety of programming that they have.
Yes.
And it's a lot more than I remember. And a while back, long ago, I used to have season tickets and to different orchestras, but I think maybe in COVID we got off our usual patterns. And so it's especially fun to see that they're letting students get in for reduced prices, sometimes
yep.
even free, and that they can experience something and then see someone that they admire up on the performance mm-hmm. stage and to make that a part of their world so that they might think of that as an opportunity to do again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we kind of went over, you know, this is a big thing on my bucket list, and it probably is for everybody else that's going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the students getting to kind of see their teacher up there doing something amazing, you know, that's going to be pretty cool.
It is going to be really exciting. I hope we have lots of people that come and see that. And What are you hoping then that helps your students see about, you know, musical possibilities?
Well, it is very possible if you work at anything, you can do it at a high level, whether mm-hmm. it's being a musician or an athlete or a business person or whatever it may be. Just find something that you really want to do and that kind of speaks to you, and go for it and work at it and be the best you can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've certainly done that because you play, you're going to be doing this concert, but you also are in a few other bands too in town.
Yeah.
We should tell people about that so they can come see you for those events too.
Yeah, so I actually sort of have a couple of double lives. You know, there's the old saying that, what is it, those who cannot do teach. Well, I do. And I teach. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really kind of an important part of who I am is there's the teacher part of me and there's the performer part of me. And I really love doing both. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I play tuba in a bunch of things, you know, sometimes with the CVRO when I can, when my job allows it. And then I have a brass quintet up in the cities that I play with pretty regularly. I used to play with the Lake Wobegon Brass Band mm-hmm. regularly.
They've come
and that's
down
out
here.
That's out of Anoka. And they regularly play at the Vintage Band Festival, and then the community band, I do that. So I really try and play my horn as much as I reasonably can.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked up bass guitar in college, and I really also enjoy that, and I play regularly at the Methodist Church here, and then I play with the Zillionaires, and then there's also a Simon and Garfunkel sort of tribute band that's made up of all Northfield people.
Oh, I haven't heard that one yet. Okay.
You,
wow.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good thing, because I don't know that everybody who's in band thinks of it as a lifelong opportunity, but it really can be. It can be something that you can do, you know, you learn and you can apply that, you know, to so many different things. And there's so many different ways to be a part mm-hmm. of the music world. And it's such a valuable thing. Mm-hmm. What do you think you get out of it?
A lot. It's just one of the ways that I feed my soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, performing, and I even enjoy rehearsing, but just performing. And it doesn't matter if it's doing a duet with one of my students or if it's performing with a big group. I just love it.
Mm-hmm. And we get to enjoy what you produce for us, and we have this opportunity to see you and live out one of your dreams, which mm-hmm. is really exciting. So I'm so excited we had this chance to talk and for you to come down to the studio and share your story. I hope it's a fabulous success.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of Art Zany Radio. Thank you, folks. I want to also thank Mike Legvold for coming down. And he mentioned that series, The Planets, and this is Jupiter. And I've got a little recording I want to, just because you're probably wondering, I know that song. I wonder what it sounds like. So I'll play a couple minutes from that for you here on Art Zany Radio. This is a recording from the BBC Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Susanna Malki. I hope I've got that right. And this was from July 27th, 2015 at the Royal Albert Hall. And again, this is The Planets, Jupiter. This one says it is the bringer of jollity from Gustav Holst. Thank you. That's just a flavor of the Jupiter, and that gives you a little sense of that song that they'll be performing. So I'm so excited for this opportunity for them. I've also got a conversation with Nahal Javan, who is the Northfield High School Band Director, and we're going to hear her story next on Art Zany Radio. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. It's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm so excited to hear your story. I want to start with asking you a little bit about your musical world and your role at the Northfield High School as band director.
Sure. I am in my third year at Northfield High School, band and jazz, and like many, I started in elementary band. Fourth grade, I started on trumpet. Had really great music educators in my life. I went to a K through 8 high school, so I had like that K through 8 experience where I stayed in the same school for 9 years. So that was definitely like I played with a lot of the same people for a while. High school had some really great band directors and jazz directors, and jazz was really where I like fell in love with music making and just individual improv and knowing like what that is. And then I went to St. Olaf and was in the St. Olaf band, the orchestra, and the Philharmonia, and a bunch of other ensembles, and enjoyed my time there. And I graduated in 2020, and then went off for 1 year and taught in Illinois at a school in Naperville, Illinois, and then came here to Northfield.
Well, we're delighted to have you here. I'm so excited to get to know you. Tell me about that transition from trumpet to French horn. What prompted that?
I think a lot of it was trying to make the top band at my high school, but I was also really interested in French horn. It was just a different instrument, and we needed one, so we didn't have one. So I was the only French horn player at my high school, which was kind of fun, but also really scary. But playing trumpet really helped.
Yeah, and do you now with jazz play the trumpet or the French horn?
Play trumpet in like a big band setting, and then French horn in everyday band setting.
Oh, so you still kept up both of them.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And that's very exciting. And I'm wondering, in the world of music education at the high school level, and now that you're teaching, how has the world developed? A lot has happened in the musical industry. And I'm wondering if some of those changes have happened at the school, just compared to your experiences to what you are, having with the students at Northfield High School.
Yeah, I think things have definitely changed. One is like when students start playing instruments. Unfortunately, because of like budget cuts and cuts to teachers and schools, most students start in fifth grade or even sixth grade. Here, it's lucky that we got fifth grade, and even lucky for orchestras in fourth grade. But in a lot of places, that's not the case. Which like we need to continue fighting for those programs. But I think in general for high school band, like I said, I had really great mentorship and representation from a band director who really valued like student voice and community. So I just kind of took that and kept running with it. But I think one of my biggest values that is continually pushing in music ed, it's still kind of pulling back a little bit, but is hopefully coming to the forefront, is making sure that we are representative of everybody in the musical world, and not just like our concert band setting, but how can we incorporate other traditions into our concert band setting? How can we take composers who are not necessarily the stereotypical white male concert band composer and bring them into our world? And there's a lot of really great composers. Akash Mittal is one who writes from his South Indian tradition and brings it to the British American band world. So,
and I would assume too, the students probably have access to bigger libraries of music too. Just on their phones, they can look up world music from anywhere,
right?
And so they probably come. Maybe that's not true. But that's my sort of pondering that myself. That they have more exposure to.
They definitely have more exposure. I'm not sure if they seek out the exposure. I think there's just like so much out there. I don't think it's really on them. It's just like what do you listen to? What do you reach out to mm-hmm. with the plethora of music that you have in front of you?
Yeah. And band, it was always a safe haven, if you will, for me mm-hmm. with, you know, a lot of, we got really close with the people that were with us and always a place we could go if we just needed, you know, a place to find some comfort or
that's what it should be.
A place where you could, you know, just kick back and hang out. And sometimes just having that break in your day to play music mm-hmm. was such a rewarding time of day because it was different than the other studies that you were doing. I hope that's still the same.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think myself and my choir and orchestra colleagues try to create a space where students not only see themselves, but they also get to see others, mm-hmm. Which is really important. But yes, it's a space where students can come in and put aside for 40 minutes, 50 minutes, what might be bothering them and recognize that even if they're having a bad day, that they can make music. Mm-hmm. In fact, Saturday, the bands, my student leadership led a trip to go bowling. And so they had like a fun little community bonding thing.
That's what it should be. And I'm so excited to hear that. I was wondering, you mentioned you were a grad of St. Olaf, and which is well known for their musical education. And how did that shape your decision making and your career path to become a music educator?
Well, I guess that goes back a little further. I think I always wanted to go into education. And when I was like, I think 10 or 11, I was like, I really like this music thing. I kind of want to take it a little further. And I didn't know what like music entailed. I didn't even know that was like a thing. I think until my like sophomore year of high school, where I learned what process it takes to go and study music ed and become a teacher. I wanted to go to St. Olaf for a very long time, just because of its rigor, of its really strong music ensembles and community, I think, foremost. I was someone who only applied to schools that had less than like 4,000 people in them, mm-hmm. just because I wanted that community aspect. And I did love the aspect that the ensembles weren't just music majors. I think that you get really strongly at, like, say, the University of Minnesota. You get to play in the wind ensemble, which is incredible, but it is mostly just music majors. So you don't get that breadth of knowledge and experience that comes with playing in a group like the St. Olaf Band or the Neusman Band or the Philharmonia and stuff like that.
That's a really good perspective for people to think about if they're thinking of a college choice and a music education, that you don't have to be a major in some of these schools to participate. And that does bring a new, just a new roundness maybe to your education with music.
Yeah, definitely. You get to meet so many different people. And I had a ton of friends who came in music ed, did not leave music ed, perhaps stayed with music, mm-hmm. But went into something else, which really happens at a small liberal arts college where you get to experience a lot of different core classes and things like that. But St. Olaf has a really incredible music education program and performance program.
We're glad to have you here. And one of the things we've been talking about is this upcoming experience that you're going to have with the Minnesota Orchestra. It's a side-by-side program. What prompted you to apply for that? And tell us a little bit about what you're looking forward to.
Yeah, I actually didn't know about it until my partner sent me a link to it. He's an orchestra director. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And it wasn't like a really in-depth application process. It wasn't like, here, send a recording or anything, which I appreciated. But it was more so asking, like, what are your values in education and why would this program help you as an educator for your students? So I really appreciated that point. And it was free, and it's this incredible opportunity to play with the Minnesota Orchestra and their new director, Thomas Sundergaard. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that does sound. And it's a celebration of music educators. So it's honoring that profession. I think it's a really lovely thing. I don't know how many years they've done it or if this is the first year.
I think they have done it in the past. I may be wrong, and brought it back perhaps before COVID. But yeah, it's definitely a space of like advocacy. It's during one of their season sampler concerts. So it's not one of like the concerts that's a bigger program. They do a little bit more like shorter, smaller pieces, tidbits to look forward to the rest of the season. So it's a little bit of a space to allow for the importance of music ed to come through.
Yes.
Because no one on that that stage who plays in the Minnesota Orchestra would be there without their high school, middle school, elementary, college directors.
You're right. That is, it's a foundational thing for, and a launching pad for so many people who, you know, continue with their instruments or play in bands or, you know, do concerts or just play around, and it's a part of their life, something they can pick up and enjoy for years to come. And so this concert, you're performing from the wonderful Planets series, Jupiter, and that, I'm curious, you haven't had any rehearsals yet, and so how are you practicing when you're getting ready to go to those rehearsals before the concert?
Just regular practice. I tend to bring my horn to school to play with students in lessons, but in the minimal time that I have, just kind of playing through it. It's not an easy piece. I'm glad I'm not a violinist in this piece, but it's just taking as much time. I think I'll put in more time this next week. But I also play in a adult professional ish concert band called the Minnesota Symphonic Winds. So I have a bit of practice and rehearsal for that too. So it is nice to continue playing, and it is under the baton of Timothy Marr still. So it's fun to play with my college band director.
What a wonderful thing then. You've got all kinds of different playing and performing coming. And what are you telling your students about the performance? And there are many, many students are invited and friends and family to this concert for the Minnesota Orchestra. And I want to remind people that that is on Saturday, April 27th at 7 and on Sunday, April 28th at 2. Do you perform for both of those?
Yes.
So, and two opportunities to see it. And MinnesotaOrchestra.org has lots of the details. And I think it's a way for kids to see their instructors be a part of something that they do. And it's always interesting, you know, to see your instructor outside of your school's area. And so how excited are they for you?
I've been putting it out there. Unfortunately, prom is that night.
Oh, you're right.
I don't know if I'll get too many students to come down, which is perfectly fine. they have come to other things. But I put it on the board. I've talked about it. I think it's when I told my concert band, I was like, hey, I got into this. And they were like very excited about it. So I think it's more of like a figuring out how to get there, what to do with that. But I'm sure if they had the time, they would come out. I think it's really cool for a student to get to see their educator on stage and even to just go see the Minnesota Orchestra.
Yes.
I mean, they have, I think it's $12 tickets. Maybe it's a little bit more now for students. And sometimes they have free opportunities. Similar with like SBCO, the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra. It's always free for students. So I always let them know that those opportunities exist.
Right. Because it does change your perception of pieces. I think when you see something performed that you're doing, it adds another dimension to your experience of, you know, just being in the space of the orchestra hall with those, you know, glorious sounds. I mean, it's really a perfect place to perform. Yeah. And so you hear music in a new way, and you see people that have dedicated their lives to making it a profession, and you sort of learn something about the world of a musician that you don't see if you're just looking at notes on your page and like practicing your part.
Yeah. And I think weirdly enough, I fit into the generation of my students still. To get younger musicians or just younger people to come see like symphony orchestras, professional orchestras, pre-professional orchestras, especially Minorc, which does a lot of contemporary music and a lot of commissioning and pushing new works, which many orchestras are doing now, but they're very much in the forefront of that, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. And Osmo Vanska was in the forefront now, and Thomas Lundegaard now. So I think it's a great space for students to find. Also, it's a beautiful hall. I mean, many of my students have gotten to perform on that hall because they were Allstate students. Which is great for them. I actually have never performed on the stage on my primary instrument. I sang there for a Christmas fest performance.
Oh, so this will be new for you too.
Yeah, so I know what choral sounds like, but I'm excited to actually play horn on that stage.
And as we said, there'll be both Minnesota Orchestra players who are in the orchestra as well as educators.
Right.
And so it's a mix, which is kind of, what are you wanting to ask those folks when you meet them, or what excites you about being on that stage with them?
What's great is I actually know a lot of the horn section just because of like master classes when they came in to St. Olof for stuff that I've worked with them. So that's great. Not that they remember me or anything, but I've played for them a little bit, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think it's a fun experience just to sit next to someone who does what they do like every week, you know, playing classics, playing new works, and doing it at a very high level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really impressed when I went to the website for the Minnesota Orchestra, just the variety of programs that are available. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the different types of music that they're presenting, is there's a whole variety. So if you haven't been to that website or the concert hall, I encourage people to check that out, because you might be finding something that you hadn't anticipated.
Yeah.
And what do you think you want to teach your students about that, you know, lifelong learning and the whole musical journey, and what might be possible? What kind of conversations are you having with your students?
Yeah, that's a good question. Especially now coming to like the end of the year, I have 19 seniors. And I know that not all of them are going to continue to play their instruments. Perhaps they'll come back to it later, like many do. But something I always think about is, even if a student stops playing their instrument, they shouldn't lose the knowledge that they've gained in a musical ensemble or a musical classroom. I'm a big proponent of holistic music making, which goes beyond the notes and rhythms on the page.
Mm.
Someone wrote that music. They have a story. They have a background. It's usually in band music. What I love is it's often very programmatic. Like right now we're doing a piece called The Bicycle Shop, which is just this like illustration that Lisa Despain has written about someone riding a bike, and there's a variety of percussion in there. There's a duck call, there's bicycle bells and car horns. So it's like this idea of, how can we tell a story? How can we show narratives? We actually performed at the Minnesota Music Educators Conference in February, and our program was titled Illumination. It was all about bringing new music to the table, but music that allows us to recognize our individual perspectives and our community perspectives, and what that does for us. So I think that when they leave my classroom, I shouldn't say care less that they play their instruments, but if they need to put it away, I want them to recognize the importance in artistic music making, whether it's music making or dance or theater or visual arts, whatever it is, that it's like a lifeblood of being a human. So mm-hmm. recognizing how important that is and what that does for our communities and individuals going forward.
I'm really intrigued by that way you talked about storytelling in music, because I don't know that was necessarily emphasized when we were playing. It was more about, you know, the notes and getting everybody in tune and on the same beat. And
yeah,
you know,
and I think those things are really important. Obviously, it makes a great ensemble.
Yes.
And are things we focus on.
You want to sound good, right?
Right. We focus on those things. But intermixed in our rehearsals is, well, why was this piece written, right? We played a piece by Amanda Aldridge, who was a black female English composer who was pretty well known in her time, but just like Florence Price, she was kind of put on the wayside and forgotten. And her piece On Parade, it's a march that Caitlin Bove retranscribed for the new contemporary band.
Mm.
And bringing that back up and saying, like, well, why wasn't this continued to be played? Or why are names like Florence Price or anybody who was in the orchestral world or the band world who was not white, not put on the podium or not put on the stage? So I think that's a really important part of it. But also, like, today's composers, we commissioned a piece for MMEA, LGBTQ plus composers, mm-hmm. Female composers, composers who live in the towns that you work in, stuff like that, like bringing those things. I think it's easy to perform works that have been done, that are tried and true. In fact, like J.W. Pepper, where we buy our music, typically has a tried and true section, and I not a fan of it. Or concert lists, you know, or competition lists. I stray away from taking my students to competitions because I think it takes it away from the beauty of music making. But like finding music beyond just here's the list that's been done by X and X and X, mm-hmm. right? Vaughn Williams is great. Holst is great. Love all of that. Do them, but maybe find another piece that corresponds with that and tells a history or the background of that work.
Or can have a conversation with the piece, you know, but maybe it's the right. time period mm-hmm. or it's the city the music is set in or the instruments. Or so there's right. there's something Definitely. Happening. I want to come to your band class.
Come on in.
I think I would learn a lot. And I don't think that some of those things were necessarily brought forward. And I'm so excited to see that there's that opening for that and those opportunities for students to think outside of that tradition,
right.
that there's a big world of music.
Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, our like bands and orchestras are still very much homogeneous.
Mm.
It's very much depending on your community, but for the most part, it's a lot of white individuals. So bringing in students from all walks of life is really important. And that doesn't mean tokenizing the experience, tokenizing mm-hmm. what you program, but telling students that they have a space, that they can also, that they can see themselves through a mirror and also have a window.
So. Mm. Yeah, it's just because it can happen, so much can happen in addition to just the sounds you make and the way you play together.
Right.
Because it can be a lifelong learning, and that is something that is of great value. And I'm so excited. I forgot to mention to you, so if you have the dates for a spring concert that we should get
sure.
on our calendars, because anyone can come to
yeah.
the high school to see your performances.
Right. Our spring concert and senior recognition is May 15th, which is a Wednesday at 7:30 at Northfield Middle School. I believe it's $3 for students and $5 for adults. And then we also do have a swing dance this Saturday at the Northfield Ballrooms.
Oh, students will play with one of the jazz groups?
Yes. So we have Jazz 1 and Jazz 2 playing there. It's $10 at the door. All that money goes back to our program.
Oh, that's a great way to support, because all of this music that you're talking about, bringing in those different pieces, tracking down, you know, or I don't know if renting is the right word, of you know, when you have to get the music to the sheet music for the
right.
students, or commissioning something, all of that has a cost with it. And as you mentioned at the beginning, there are challenges with bringing music and making sure music is a part of every high school education.
Right. Yeah.
How fantastic. I cannot wait to listen to your concert and to learn more about the experience after you have played with the Minnesota Orchestra.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nahal Javan, thank you for being a part of Art Zany Radio today.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank my guests today as we celebrate the joy of music and performing music and being a part of letting music be a part of your life for the entire span of your life. It's an opportunity that I hope all of you have, and that you take the time to find that music and enjoy music. And of course, always remember to add some Art Zany to your life. And in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org. Or call 507-645-8877.
Enjoy weekends with Wendy, Saturday and Sunday mornings here on The One. The One.